podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, welcome Bridgeway and guests again, and welcome 2020. Thank you, Justin, for giving us the announcements this morning. Well, I don't know if you know this little factoid for you this morning. 2050 is now closer than 1990. Didn't think I'd be saying that, but that is the truth. And some of you are like, 1990? Dude, you're old. But either way, I get excited when I think about this year and the things to come, and even when I think about 2050, I tend to be a little bit of a dreamer myself. And I have a very gracious wife who kind of goes along with me, because I have big dreams and almost big dreams every day. And some of you are nudging your significant other next to you because you know one of you is. But she is so good and gracious at helping us to actually accomplish those and make those happen. So I love that. And anyways, as we think about this year, though, the big dreams, that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about big dreams and plans and ideas. Now, when I say the word dream, I know some of you are thinking, and maybe you could use a little nap, but that's not what we're talking about today, all right? Big dreams. So today, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Mark 2, 1 through 2. I'm sorry, 1 through 12. If you don't have your Bible, we're still going to be in Mark 2, 1 through 12. But there's a Bible underneath in front of you, or you can pull it up on your device. We'll go along with it, all right? So let's read these couple verses, Mark 2, 1 through 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Now, a word I want to focus on here is, just a thought, is Jesus is coming home. Now, this is not his birthplace home, but rather where his headquarters for ministry are. So he would come back to Capernaum, regroup, and then go back out and continue to preach the word. And he preached also in Capernaum, and the people there knew him very well. And at this time, his fame and popularity had really grown. So much so that wherever he would go now, people would just flock, and huge crowds are coming. And it says that it happened again. They gathered, and so when he comes back, actually, he comes back into a house. And that's where he's coming back in. He's kind of trying to sneak in privately because he's coming back home probably to regroup. So he's not expecting or wanting a large crowd. He comes back in, and most likely, a lot of people think that he goes to Peter's house, because Peter had a house in Capernaum, and he was also a poorer Jew himself, and so it would have been a smaller, one-story, kind of earthen house. But they packed that thing in anyways. They heard Jesus was there. Now, I don't know how they heard. I don't think they had Twitter or TikTok or Instagram or whatever to send out the message. I don't know if they sent up a signal flare or something like that. But somehow, the word gets around. Jesus is back. And they're like, all right, here we go. We're going to Jesus' house. And they're there. And they are packed it in. Now, I don't know if you've been in an area recently that's felt like that. Maybe at one of your family gatherings. Or if you were here on Christmas Eve, maybe you felt that a little bit. Kind of crammed in, or if you were here on Boo Bash this fall, you're trying to walk the candy stations near Halloween time, it was pretty cram-packed. Picture that, and that's what I picture when I think of it, is it is packed in there. So much so that there's not even room outside the door. Like, if you think about the Christmas Eve service, we opened our doors, and there's people sitting outside of this auditorium, and they're trying to hear. It's so packed that there's not even room out there. But then you got to cram it down. It's actually just in a house. If you think maybe the foyer a little bit smaller than that, but even outside, it is so packed, nobody else can get in. So let's go on to our next section here, Mark 2, 3 through 4. Some men came home bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. This is where the paralyzed man comes into the story, and we don't know a ton about his history. We know that he is paralyzed, but we don't know how or when, or how long he's been paralyzed. We don't really know a whole lot either about the four of them. These are his family, his friends. But we do know is that they care about him enough to carry him to Jesus. The other thing that I love about just them and what they're all about is that they care about him so much. They have this faith that they know that Jesus can do this thing. This dream has sprung forth. Now, I don't know if it was specifically the paralytic's dream or the dream of these four people, but they have a dream to get this man healed. And they believe Jesus is the one that can do that. So the four of them grab onto this mat, right? And so I'm assuming, I don't know how long away it was, if it was like from here to the door, or if they had to go further, but I'm assuming with four people that probably was a little bit of a ways to go. Here we go. They're going to the house, right? They get there. Great. It is packed to the doors. Do you just go home at that point? Because, I mean, how are you going to get this mat through the door, right, to get him to Jesus? And I would love to have seen which one of them was that was like, I got an idea. Let's dig through the roof. I mean, that tends to ruin people's houses a little bit. You get a little rain. I mean, our roof is leaking a little bit right now. If you see a drip drip behind me, like, that kind of thing, like, I don't know who it was, but they're like, man, we got to do this, and we're going to go up there. So, I mean, these houses had a little stair access in the back, which would have been fine for one person to kind of get up there, but now you're bringing up a mat. So they're like, okay, we're going to get them up there. And I don't know what they thought then, because they thought about digging the hole, and then what did they think? Well, the house is packed, so where am I going to put them? I'll drop them right on Jesus' head? I mean, I don't know what they thought. Like, Jesus, you got to deal with them now. But they had this faith, and they knew that all they needed to do was get them to Jesus. I love that. They dig a hole, and they drop them in, and Jesus does deal with them. And I love how he does it. So again, just this section, what I see and what I love is just, I think we get a picture of the Spirit moving here. And I think we get a picture of faith, and I think we see a big dream starting. Let's go on to the next verse here, Mark 2:5. Don't get distracted by Matthew 9:2, but let's focus on Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now this part is interesting because he came in, right? He's got this dream, I want to be healed physically. But Jesus goes, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now this is the Jesus that we know. Jesus knows us more than ourselves. And he knows what we need more than ourselves. And so he starts with the thing that the man needs most, his sins being forgiven. That's huge. Jesus is expanding his dream to something even bigger. And Jesus tends to do that. Now I want to look at this next verse, but before I do, this why I have Matthew 9 up there. If you don't know, these are two of the Gospels. There's four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all right next to each other if you're looking at your Bible. Matthew records the same story, and so does Luke in Luke 5, which these would be good readings later if you want to do that. And they're different perspectives because it's different people. So if me and Kyle and Mike go and we watch the same event happen, we're all going to have just a little bit different picture, right? But they're all going to record the same event. And so you get just a touch different in Matthew 9, and I think it's an important touch. So let me read it for you. "And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" Take heart. Now, that took me about 6 or 7 times to really understand what was happening here. I think he's speaking to the man's emotional condition. The man's spirit is crushed. His body is paralyzed. We know that. But I think it tips his hand a little bit that Jesus sees something here. And that's, again, another picture of who this Jesus is he sees us and where we're at. Now, to really get this picture, I think of my kids, because he says right here after, "my son." He gives him an endearing term. And I think about my little kids. I've got three kids, two boys and a little girl. When my little kids come to me crushed in spirit, and they come running up to me, I get to be dad. And I get to tell them, take heart, my son, my daughters. Your sins are forgiven. And maybe today, you can leave this place just after this, because this is what you need to hear. And if I can say that, and if it can make me well up, how much more Jesus, our Creator, the one who sends his Son for us, how much more can he come to this place and say to each of you, take heart, my sons and daughters, your sins are forgiven. So I want to take a second here. If you can turn to your neighbor and actually say these words to them as well. It's right at the bottom there if you need it. It's on the screen. Take heart, my son or daughter. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks for doing that. I know it's a little forced, and I've had a little bit more time with this text than maybe you have today. But I appreciate it, and I think that we all need to hear it. So thank you for doing that, and I'm going to keep saying it a few more times during this sermon, so hopefully we keep on letting it sink in. Let's go on to the next verses here. Mark 2:6-7. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? All right, first of all, how are the teachers of the law always there? I mean, seriously, they just pop up. I mean, he's in like a house. He's trying to be private, and still, they're there. If you've read some of the scriptures in the first four of these books here, the Gospels, you see that over and over that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, are always there, and they always have questions. But they are. I don't know how they heard again, but they are. They're there. And I think an important part here to hold on to is the word thinking. This time, they don't say it out loud. It's a thought that they're having. It's in their heads. And another part of this is that I think that they're missing what Jesus is doing. They've missed the forgiveness that Jesus has offered. Let's go on to this next part, Mark 2:8-9. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? All right, first of all, again, they were thinking this, and yet Jesus knows. You could say, well, maybe this is just his intuition, or he perceives it. I think this is another picture of God. This is our God that knows us and knows our thoughts. And he sees it. And the other part of it is he sees this lie come up in their minds. And he doesn't let it sit there. He doesn't let it fester. He speaks into it. And he speaks the truth. And you know what? Because each of us have these lies come up, right? And he's already spoken the truth. And it's right here. We can keep reminding ourselves the same thing. The truth that we need to hear. Mark 10, we're going to go just through the first part of the Mark 10 here. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And this is why, again, another reason why Jesus does this is to show that he is God. And this is huge. The people there didn't all know that Jesus was God, right? And so that's the whole reason Jesus goes and preaches and shares the word, to let them know who he is and to let them know of the great things God is doing, and to let them know that he can forgive sins, and he does. Let's go to our last chunk here, Mark 2, 10 through 12. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. He does exactly what the paralyzed man was hoping. This is his dream fulfilled, right? He gets it. Now, I know that God doesn't always heal us physically, but in this case, he did. And it's a picture again of God's power. Again, that Jesus is God. And they had the right response, right? They are amazed. They are amazed at this miracle that just happened before them. These people come, right? They dug through the roof, and they plop him in there. I don't know, again, if he's on Jesus' head or not. Probably not. They plop him in there. I'm assuming people move out of the way. They see him there, and then Jesus raises him up, and the guy walks out. Now, I think that they probably knew that he was, they knew this paralyzed man. They knew he was paralyzed, which makes it even that much more authentic. I don't see in these verses in any of the other accounts as well. Nobody questioned it. It's because it happened. I'm going to take a break here from the verses. We're going to come back kind of scene selection style and pick out a few more interesting details. But I've got a couple questions that I want to ask you first. Now, it's the new year, or the first weekend of the new year. Have any of you made any New Year's resolutions? Some of you are like, oh, yeah, it is the new year. and that's okay if you haven't or have. Either way, I'm just asking the question. I've made a couple. And one of them is to read through the Bible this year. Now, my goal in doing that is I want to get the whole picture. And I think it's important for me to do from time to time to understand the whole story and to get the whole theme of what Jesus is doing and to read it in that way. I found an app that does this year. There's a whole bunch of them. You don't have to use this one. But there's one that's called Read Scripture. It's put out by Crazy Love Ministries. And maybe you've already found this because you're a little more tech savvy than me. That's fine. But what this does, it's a little different than some of the other ones that I found, is they partnered with the Bible Project, which the Bible Project, one of the things that they did is they put together a bunch of videos that explain what's happening. So if you have a hard time reading the Bible or you have a hard time understanding yourself, this is a good way to do it because it talks you right through what you're reading and what you're about to read. It's not a video every day, but it's close to it. So let's actually take a look, because I'm a visual guy and I need to see it. Let's take a look at the video of today's, and this is actually of the passage we're talking about today. So we're only going to listen to 30 seconds of it, but let's take a look.
Jesus. From here, Mark's given us a big block of stories showing us Jesus' power as he brings God's kingdom. He goes about healing people whose bodies are sick or broken or under the oppression of dark spiritual powers. And Jesus even does something that for Jewish people only God has the right to do. He forgives people's sins. And Jesus' actions here produce lots of different responses. So some people follow him and become his disciples. Other people don't know what to think, and still others reject him completely, especially Israel's leaders who accuse him of blaspheming God and being empowered by evil. But Jesus isn't surprised.
All right, so these are about 10-minute videos, but that's just the chunk that we read today. And yes, it is another 10 minutes, but I think it's worth it. The readings take maybe 15 to 20 minutes a day. Don't worry, there's only 358 days in the plan, so you have about a week break. But either way, the goal of it is to jump in there and to just consume the word. So I encourage you to check in with me, see how I'm doing. I gave you that permission, and I also invite you to join me in it. So my next question is, what do you think the most common New Year's resolutions are, the top 10. Yeah, I hear you talking already. Go ahead and do it. Tell your neighbor, what do you think the top 10 are? If you get all 10, it's extra points. Do, 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 I think I've got another job on the side. No cheating. I see some of you looking at your Google devices. All right. I'm going to take out my one of my most trusted resources, Time Magazine's. Says that the top 10 are lose weight and get fit. Anybody say that one? Yeah, I might have tried to do that before. Number 2, quit smoking. Number 3, learn something new. Number 4, eat healthier and diet. Number 5, get out of debt and save money. Number 6, spend more time with family. Number 7, travel to new places. 8, be less stressed. Number 9, volunteer. And number 10, drink less. I don't think it's drink less water, but you get the idea. And these are all good things, right? But I don't know if you're like me, and you're like, ooh, it's January 5. I was going to do something this new year, right? And so you've already failed, and you're 5 days in. But either way, I think get up back on the horse, and you can do it. But I just think that these are good ideas, good things to do for ourselves personally. And like I said, I've got some resolutions myself. But I want us to think even bigger. These are good things for us, but I want us to think bigger. Think kingdom dreams. Think big dreams that the Spirit is leading us to. So I want to talk a second just about how our dreams get held back. And I want to reference, just talk about a little bit. Last week, Pastor Justin talked about 2019. He took a look back at what happened that year and how God speaks into it. Talks about a new thing. And if you haven't heard that message, I'd encourage you to jump on, listen to it on the podcast. Actually, all of our messages are up online. You can check them out any week and get a picture of what happened in the earlier weeks. But what I think Justin did as well is he just talked about some things that hold us back. And when I think about this story, I think about the paralyzed man. And maybe 2019 for you felt a little bit paralyzing. Maybe you feel paralyzed now from what happened in 2019. And I don't know if something big physically happened to you, if you lost a job, if you have some family struggles. I really don't know. So I don't know if you're coming in this week feeling a lot like this man. But I think it's normal to feel this way. I think it's normal to feel paralyzed from time to time. And that's okay. On a different note, I think maybe some of us are missing Jesus altogether. Now, it's hard to say, I'm the one that's missing Jesus. You look at like the teachers of the law and the scribes, I don't think it wasn't a lot of them or all of them because they keep on coming. There were some that the Spirit moved and changed them. But maybe it's that. Maybe you're focused on what Jesus can't do, what Jesus won't do. Maybe you're exactly like the Pharisees. You're thinking about what Jesus shouldn't do. Or maybe it's what Jesus didn't do. I think if you're there, you're missing what Jesus has already done and what Jesus will do in 2020 and in you. I think most of our dreams actually end up getting stuck in this phase. We get stuck in dream mode. And I think about the paralyzed man and what it would have been like if he would have been stuck just in his dream phase. I mean, obviously, he would have just been at his house probably still, paralyzed, still crushed in the spirit, and missing that his sins are forgiven. It's huge. I'm not trying to guilt you at all. That's not my point today. But rather just to encourage us that if our dreams are held back, our God is with us in it, and he likes to speak into it like he did in this story. Well, either way, in this story, he didn't. The four people with him, didn't either. He dreamed of being healed. And Jesus spoke into it. He gave him encouragement. He forgave him. And he heals him. Heals him physically. And I think, as I alluded to earlier, I think the dream he had, the change that he wanted, was not the dream he needed or the change he needed. Maybe this, the change you need, is not the change you want. And that's what I love about Jesus. Jesus knew what he needed. I think if even the paralytic had left after just being encouraged and forgiven, he could have sang praises and still given all the glory to God. I've often wondered, maybe the problem with my dreams is that they're too big. I've got all these things that's way too big to figure out, and they just crumble. Recently, I've been thinking that maybe it's because they're too small. Maybe I've got to think bigger because it's something I can get behind. So I want to look back at one story from 2019 to inspire us a little bit of somebody who had a dream and what they did about it. So we're going to take a look at this video of a man that did that.
Absolutely, Cynthia. That line has gone down right now, but we've seen dozens go into the convention center tonight. The city opened the doors here to the homeless in case other shelters got packed. We saw a lot of folks over at the Oaklawn United Methodist Church, including a man who went above and beyond to get others out of the cold.
Okay, here we go.
On nights when temperatures will likely dip below freezing,
hey, brother.
Those who don't have a home in Dallas.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Are lucky to meet a guy.
We got you a ride.
Like this.
So let's get our hiney down there and get out of the weather. Yeah. How about it? Okay, come on. Let's go do it, okay? All right. Well, we're two for two, folks. All right, here we go.
He has an easy task.
We're going to make it.
But one not many would think or want to do.
We're going to make it.
Canvassing Dallas in a van.
Glad I found you. What's your name?
Barbara,
good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you.
What's your name?
I'm BB.
BB McGowan.
I am.
That is. Oh. He's picking up the homeless.
Yeah.
And taking them to the United
You're
Methodist
welcome,
Church
lady.
In Oaklawn, where there's shelter.
Yeah,
thank you for volunteering.
And security, as Reverend Rachel Bachman adds.
You can be the difference for somebody. You can help somebody know there is a warm place to go and you can have a place of safety tonight.
McGowan doesn't mind being that messenger.
When I got sober, it was part of my heart to help, and I wanted to.
Because 3 years ago, he was homeless.
I used to just drive by maybe people that were less fortunate, and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, we all fall down in life.
You want to ride?
But on nights like tonight, McGowan likes letting everyone know.
The important part's getting up.
In Dallas, I'm Matt Howerton.
And praise God that he did, right? That's awesome. It's an awesome dream. Guy goes from being homeless to now he's trying to help, and he goes out and picks up people and brings them into a safe place. I want to give you a few more just to spur your imagination. This one's for our middle school and high schoolers out here. A junior, actually this happened at a few different schools just in different ways. So a junior at a school in the U.S. this year did something a little special on Valentine's Day. But he did it for more than just one girl. He did it for 850. All the girls in his school. He decided he was going to make a rose for each one of them. He takes a little stem, puts a Hershey Kiss on it, and takes that red paper that you put on presents, I don't know what it's called, but you put it on there. And then he goes and he gives it to each of those girls. That's awesome. What a cool heart. And he said he did it because of A, of God's love, but B, because he wanted to care and show these girls that they are cared for and thought of on that day. That is awesome. What a cool dream. And this dream, actually, he didn't do it in one day. He thought of it in November, And it took him from November to February to get all 850 of those made. It's a big dream and an awesome dream. Now, some of these don't take 4 months, 3 months, 12 years, whatever it is. Some of them are right now, and it's living by the Spirit. And maybe that's your dream for 2020, is to live a little more by the Spirit. I've got a little boy, and I don't know about you, but when it comes to play places, when it comes time to stop playing, they just don't do it. They'll just flat out, like, right? I'm like dragging them out of there. You can see the parents, and they're like screaming. It's not because the kid got hurt. It's because they don't want to leave the play place. But there's a little kid this year that what he did is he left his play area on his own, and he goes over and he sits with a policeman who's eating by himself. That's awesome. The little kid gets it to go and care for somebody that's eating alone. I think the kid was maybe 5 or 6 years old. Beautiful. Another one, firefighters are called out on a call in the middle of shopping at the supermarket. They come back to find out that all of their groceries are anonymously paid for. Again, just an awesome act of kindness and love. Living by the Spirit. Another one, it's a little bit different, but I still think it talks about redemption. Scientists this past year used recycled sewage to create a 500-acre forest in the desert in Egypt. They're taking something nasty and they're making something good. That's another beautiful thing. Two more here. There's a church in California this year. They raised $5 million in a year. For what? To pay off medical debt for a bunch of people in Los Angeles. That's awesome. You imagine just getting this letter in the mail of your medical debts paid off and what relief that can give you. Last one, I'm a softie if you haven't figured it out for little kids, because I have them. A five-year-old this year paid off the lunch debt for 123 of his schoolmates, his classmates. How? He sold cookies and hot cocoa. Awesome. I hope these dreams were inspiring to you, and I think it just leans a little bit more towards what I think maybe our dreams need to be doing. They need to be a little bit, our dreaming needs to be a little bit more like Jesus. A little bit more in the Spirit. And you're like, well, he's Jesus though. I mean, he's God, right? Okay. But Peter and John also did the same kind of healing in Acts 3. So if you want to read that later, you can get the whole story. But what happens is a beggar comes, he's sitting at the gate, and he's asking for just money. He's asking for alms. And what happens instead is that they heal him. The change, again, is not what he needed, or not what he wanted, but what he needed. And they do that. You're like, but they're Peter and John. I mean, come on. Okay, we can do this all day. But here's the thing. Right before this, Acts 2, they're actually given the Holy Spirit. And I've got news for you. If you didn't know this, if you are a Christian, you follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Holy Spirit is here today. He's been moving today. If I can have the worship band come up, I'll give you my last thoughts here. I want for myself, but for all of us as a church, for 2020 to be a year that we are in tune to the Spirit. When I look back at this whole passage, I see the Spirit moving. When I think of Acts 3 and Peter John, I see the Spirit moving. Let's try and see the needs this year. If you need help with that, let's ask the Spirit for help to see the needs. And when you see them, don't rationalize. And don't push them aside. Let's be courageous to act on those needs. Let's have a faith in a God who's big enough to heal us. our whole selves. And that this God can move in us, can shake us, can move in our families, and can move, again, dreaming big, I think he can move and shake Rockford. And when tomorrow comes, and it's now January 6th, or it's February, or it's October, and you've forgotten your dream, you feel like you failed again, I want to leave you with that last thought. Remember what he said to the paralytic. Take heart, my sons and daughters. Your sins are forgiven. So let's go out in this year, 2020, in the Spirit, loving God and honoring him with our lives. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for a chance just to be here today together. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the fact that your Spirit moves. Your word says that where two or three are gathered, I am with you. And I believe that you are here. And I thank you that you are. God, I pray that you would help us to see the needs this year. I pray that you would help us to have courage to act. And I pray that we would live this guilt-free, because it's not about guilt. Rather, just to honor you. And I thank you for your encouragement. Thank you that you tell us, take heart, my sons and daughters. Your sins are forgiven. Help us to dream this year, to dream big. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.